here. Amen. God's people. Got a little bit tonight. Amen. So let's just jump right into the Word of God. Psalms chapter 61 in verse 2. We'll read a portion of Scripture here. Amen. This is going to be... just pay attention. Because you might hear something and see something that might entertain you. You ever heard a preacher say that as a begin? No. You might see or hear something that might entertain you. So don't fall asleep. Don't enjoy the weather. Don't too much. Don't enjoy the weather. And don't get your sidetracked. But just listen up. Let God speak to your heart. Amen. Let's read Psalms chapter 61 and verse 2. It says, "From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Amen. Read that last part again. "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that there is a rock that is higher than us. God, it's a sure foundation. The Bible says the rock, the chief cornerstone, is Jesus Christ. God, and we're asking you to touch every heart, every mind here. God, let us leave strengthened by the Holy Spirit, and let us be strengthened by your might and by your power. Amen. So the rock of God, the Holy Spirit, God Almighty. Have you ever tried to do a project that takes many people by yourself?
Oh my.
Us men laugh because there's a lot of projects that men get involved in that just simply can't be done by themselves. But we've all tried, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right here, we've tried to do things just simply because maybe we couldn't find any help, or maybe we just didn't want to bother anybody. And so we just try to tackle it all by ourselves, and then usually what comes from it, especially when we get older, our back hurts, something breaks, we get frustrated, we give up, we throw up our hands in despair and say, "Oh well, that didn't go good. Like I'm just gonna, But how nice is it when you have a task like that, and then you have somebody that's a good worker there with you? It's not so nice if you have somebody there working with you that just gets in the way. But if you have a good worker right beside you, and you're doing a task and it gets done, you feel pretty good about that task. So, illustration time. Riley, set your Bible down and come on up here.
Oh my.
All right, we're going to make it even more dangerous. Riley, I want you to stand over here. Stand right here. Okay, Casper, set them keys down and come on up here. Casper, I want you to stand right here. All right? Now, here's what we're going to do, okay? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a wrestling match.
Oh, no.
Riley is going to wrestle Casper. Okay, but before we do this, let's take a vote. Let's take a vote. Now, Riley, I don't want you to hold back. Casper, I don't want you to hold back, okay? You're really going to wrestle Riley when Daddy says go. Okay? So, how many thinks Riley's going to win?
Thanks, Peanut. I appreciate it.
Okay. We got a good number of hands. Some of you, I just don't think voted. How many thinks Casper's going to win?
Yeah.
What?
You guys aren't proving my point here. So, obviously, Casper, how old are you? He's 4. He's getting ready to be 5. Riley, how old are you? She's 14, getting ready to be 15. Oh, Lord, help me. Sorry, I had to remind myself of that. So, in reality, when I say, on your mark, get set. When I say it, they're just going to go at it. What do you think would happen? In reality, Riley is very nice to her brother. She won't, but if she would really try, she would win. Okay? Because she's bigger. She's bigger. And she's stronger. Okay, now we're switching it up a little bit. Eric, come on up here.
Oh, no.
Eric, I want you to come over on this side, and I want you to stand behind Casper.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so now I'm changing the rules a little bit, okay? So it's still Riley against Casper.
With it.
But why'd you back up? Get up here. Bunch you back up. So, but now it's Casper. And look, turn around and look. Look who's your partner. Casper. So now it's Casper and Eric taking on Riley. Now, who's going to win? Anybody want to vote Riley? Oh, come on, you guys don't have no common sense. How many wants to vote Casper now? Yep, I'm getting my hands up. All right, ready? I'm going to have mercy on Riley. All right, we'll let you guys go sit down. Thank you, Casper. Go sit down. All right. So you understand. Yeah, that was funny. But you understand the illustration is whenever we do something with somebody, we're stronger than when we stand alone. So today we're not going to talk about other people helping us, which that's a good message in itself. But what we're going to talk about is whenever we do something with God, we're so much more stronger than if we do something without God. Without God, we're like this little tiny, I mean, we could have really got extreme. Like, it could have been this little tiny person against this big mountain. And it feels so big. Situations in life that we face feel so big. They feel so monumental. It feels like we're just never going to win. We're never going to overcome. We're never going to conquer. Amen. So then we look at the Bible here. And we see something. Skip over to chapter 63 of Psalms. You should pretty much be there if you kept your place. Psalm 63. Let's read a few scriptures here. It says, first off, who's writing this? How many knows how to work your Bible?
David.
Who's writing your Bible? Yeah, so it doesn't tell us in there, but above it, it says a Psalm of David. Yeah. So in the Psalms, it will tell us. David was a
shepherd.
He was a shepherd. He also was a king. He also was the leader of Israel. He also was a warrior. David went into battle. He fought battles with his army. Nowadays, the president sits in an office and says, go. Back then, that's not the way it worked. The king was on the line with the soldiers. Amen. And so David was no different than that. So David faced things. And listen to this. Psalms chapter 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. And then he gets into some good stuff. And when I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. This is the key scripture. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. Thy right hand. So first off, we see David seeking the Lord. We see that the last verse said, my soul followeth hard after thee. So what does it mean to follow hard after something? To really, really, really want it. And that's the thing. You either want something or you don't want something. So in this case, you either want God in your life walking beside you, or you don't want God in your life walking beside you. And David, as a young boy, got to the conclusion in his life, if he didn't have God with him, he was in big, big, big trouble. Amen. Because he was little David. You know, and then there's big Goliath. The day that David defeated Goliath, he walked into the camp. What were the rest of the Israelite soldiers doing?
Hiding.
Yeah. Do you know that the rest of the Israelite soldiers were older than David, were stronger than David, were bigger than David? And they were hiding. David walks in and he's like, okay. He goes, what in the world is this Goliath doing? And he pokes himself up and he says, no, I'm gonna kill this giant. Why? Because David understood that God was with him. When somebody is with you, Casper, little Casper was going to fight his sister. You know, and in reality, that's kind of scary. We could have put somebody even a little bit bigger there. We could put me there. And so Casper's going to fight his dad. That's kind of scary. But when you know that God is standing behind you and you have all the weight and the power of God behind you, that makes all the difference.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
That makes all the difference. So why did David follow so hard after God? Because, first off, he knew his own power and his own ability was this big. But then he knew that God was this big. You know, this big. And God was more powerful than all. The Bible says God is more powerful than all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So I want to stand with God. I want to stand with God. You know, this. Then something happens, though. Something happens. After you serve God for a while, and you experience some victories, and you experience good things that happen, here's a danger that occurs sometimes. The danger that occurs is we kind of get cocky. Anybody ever ran into somebody that was cocky? They felt good. Like, oh, God, I can do this. Whatever it is, they can do it. And so, say Eric helped Casper win one battle. Then all of a sudden, Casper's like, and he kind of forgets that Eric's behind him. And it starts to go to his head, and he thinks, boy, man, I got this. I can beat my sister up. I can do whatever I want to do. And so Casper starts walking around, and let me tell you something about God. Once you get to the point in your life where you start relying on your own abilities and you get cocky, and you get confident in yourself, God will literally say, fine, you can do it without me. God will just back right up. And so all the while, you're standing there, and you're feeling good. You can conquer the world. You're doing this. And you think you've got God behind you. And all of a sudden, God's backing up. You're walking into the face of a big enemy. And you're, I got this. I'm going to conquer life. I'm going to do this. And you have no clue God isn't behind you. So sometimes that happens in our life as we get too cocky, too powerful. You know, and I think every one of us can admit to that at times. And the lesson is kind of simple today. I need God. And I'm not going to be much longer, but we need the Lord. We can't do this alone. We don't want to do this alone. But we have to rely upon Him. So, how did David rely upon God? He made a priority in his life. He went to God. He sought God. He followed hard after God. He waited upon the Lord. He sought godly counsel. He sought the counsel of the Word of God. He included God. Amen. It's one thing to say, hey, I want you on my side. But then you don't do nothing to get that person to be on your side. Or I want you to be with me, but you don't want them any other time. And then all of a sudden you call upon them, and God is a merciful God, and God will show up. But the principle is if we want God there, then we're going to have to invite God there. We're going to want a relationship with God so that we walk through life and we're not with God. One story here, and then we'll wrap it up. Let's look at David. Let's look at Samson in comparison to David. Samson, everybody remember Samson? He was big, he was strong, he was mighty. You know, Samson had the Lord's hand upon his life. God made Samson strong. Samson's strength was not really in his own strength. God had given him supernatural power to overcome the enemy. And God used Samson. He would go into villages and he would tear them apart. And for God, because them villages were hindering God's people and defeating God's people, and he would conquer armies and he would do this, and all by the power that God had given Samson. But Samson began to get cocky. I got this. I'm going to do it. And his cockiness became overconfidence. It became confidence in his own abilities. And when we get to the part, we're confident in our own ability. You know, what's the story of Samson? He lost his power. He lost his power. They come in, they cut his hair. He lost his strength, and he didn't know it. When he woke up and the enemy was coming, he didn't realize he lost his strength. You know what he did? The Bible says he shook himself like he did at times past, and he went to fight the battle. And the men just grabbed a hold of him and held him. Before, they couldn't do that. The Bible says he would lift up gates of the town, like the entrance of town. He would lift them up, carry them on his back and just move them. This time, he shook himself like he did before, and the power was gone. We can never take the power of God for granted. Here's the lesson. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. I'm desperately dependent upon God in my life to help me to be the man I need to be the husband I need to be the father I need to be. And every one of us could list off of things. We need the Lord because this, to be the son God wants me to be a daughter God wants me to be the grandfather or grandmother God wants me to be the pastor, to be the psalm leader, to be the Sunday school teacher, to be whatever it is. We need God to do it because it's much too big for us. It's much too big. There are situations that come into our life that are presented before us, and they're too monstrous. They're too big, and they're too intimidating. So either we're getting scared and we're running, or we're getting too cocky because, oh, I got this. I'm going to do it. I did stuff before. And the Bible says Samson shook himself like he did in times past. They grabbed a hold of him, and then they took him. Listen to this. They gouged out his eyes. Gouged out his eyes, lost his eye vision. And then they put him on a mill. And it was like a thing that went in circles to grind and it was like rocks or whatever, but he pushed it and he just went in circles and he ground the wheat and the barley and stuff so they can make stuff out of it. That's what he did. That's what he did for the rest of his life. Until God did a great victory at the very end, but it cost him his life. And so here's the story. So you got Samson. Then you got David. David made mistakes too. There was a time in David's life, I won't get into it, but he made a big mistake. He fell. He made a big mistake. But what was the difference? Is David came back. David repented. David acknowledged, Lord, I need you. I am weak. I want to do what you want me to do. God, give me the strength and the courage to do what you want me to do. You know, God's got things for you to do. God's got something for every one of you to do. And sometimes we never even enter into it because we don't walk with the Lord and we don't let the Lord anoint us and walk with us. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So let's look at one more scripture here. And then we're done. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 20. And verse 7. Psalms chapter 20. In verse 7. Psalms chapter 20 in verse 7. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So some people have confidence in chariots. They have confidence. What's that talking about? In man's technology and man's ability that they can do it. You ever heard of horsepower? Man. So in the olden days, they had like one horse would plow a field. But then some farmers, they figured out a way to get two horses to plow a field. And then some farmers, three horses and four horses. And then they had horsepower. They used to brag about horsepower. Then you get to the American culture and we started to make engines. And we would say, oh, it's got this much horsepower. And then what happened? The muscle age of America. Muscle cars. And then they'd get another car that had more horsepower and more horsepower. Then some of these cars were tiny cars and the engines would stick out of the hood. Some of you remember that are a little older. Some of the other kids didn't realize that. They used to have engines that used to stick out of these small vehicles and they had all these horsepower. And if you had put wings on them cars would have flew. That's how powerful these engines were on these little cars. Just vroom! Just zoom right off in the air. So, but the Bible says some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But I don't know if you heard that, if you're listening online, but that was a perfect example, a car with a big engine. But the reality is you take that same car, okay, cool car, let's put it on that one road me and you tried to go down. Talking to Eric. It just wouldn't work. Because the car, it doesn't have big wheels, it has the wrong kind of power. So some people trust in horses, some people trust in chariots, but I'm going to trust in the Lord my God. Amen. Okay? You got to trust in the Lord your God. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you, God, that we can trust in you. God, that you are our power. You are our strength, God. God, you're our shelter, our refuge in the time of need, God. God, you're the one that we can go to and find rest and find need. God, you're our help. The Bible says your help in a weary land, our shelter in the time of storm, God. God, and right now, God, we're looking to you, God, and we're saying, I need your help, God. God, I need your help. I need your strength. I need your power. I need your might. I need your authority, God. God, and I want you in my life, and I want you to walk beside me. I want you to give me strength, God. I want you to give me power. I want you to give me anointing, Lord. God, I'm tired of walking on my own, God. God, I'm tired of trusting things on my own. But Lord, I am going to trust in the name of the Lord my God, that you will give me the strength, God, the strength to overcome, the strength to rise above, God, the strength to live for Jesus and to be a godly testimony. God, we thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Do we have a song?
About if God before us.
Amen. Yeah, let's sing that song. If God before us, who can be against us? Amen. So if God before you. Amen. God before you. Amen. Let's stand up a little bit, shake it out. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. I'm going with God. I'm going for God. Amen. In the name of God, I'll give him the glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.